Tell us what the Lord is telling you.
Am I supposed to hold this? There you go. That works.
It'll clip, I think.
Yeah, that'd be good. Maybe. That's broken.
You gonna go back on?
Yeah, I think so. I don't need that, do I? You guys can hear me, can't you? I'll be all right. Good morning. Okay, now that you're not, there's no kids in the room, so the energy left. Good morning.
Good morning.
I want to apologize. Well, I'm not going to apologize. Matt, your song is my confirmation that I'm on the right path. Today is Palm Sunday, but I'm not going to talk about Palm Sunday. And it's not that it's not important. It's very important. But of all the years that I've heard Palm Sunday messages, it's not about today. It's about next weekend. It's about Good Friday. It's about salvation. It's about all the things that God affords us. And I think that a lot of people misunderstand Palm Sunday. Not us as a society, but just the Christian movement. In that time, God actually got the praise he deserved. For once in his life, he actually got the praise that he deserved. And so for my goal today is that we give him that praise that he deserves. I've entitled today's message, Misunderstood. And hopefully, as we get to the end of it, you'll understand why I've named it that. And the reason why I've named that is because I think as Christians, the longer that I'm a Christian, the more I take things for granted. And what I mean by that is I'll read a scripture and then I automatically go to the place of, yeah, I know that. Philippians 4:13, anybody know that? Hello? For I can do all things through Christ who? It's a cliche. Why is it a cliche? Because we know it, but do we truly understand it? And that's my goal, is to take that verse and truly show us what it means. Because I've been very convicted by God as of late. And God's really telling me that, you know, Ben, time is short. And a lot of people think they know me. And a lot of people think they have a relationship with me. Ben, and you're in this group. But they're misunderstood. Satan has got it to a point where we're deceived. Because we get comfortable. We go through the motions. We know a little scripture. We give a little money. We go to church. You really think that's what God wants from you? I'm not saying those things aren't important. Do you think God wants your best or enough to get by? You see, because I know me. I want a full-time God. I want God at his best. I want God's all his power, all his blessing, all his strength. But I don't always give that in return. Did I tell you this wasn't going to be fun? It'll get fun, I promise. Because there is a very important message for all of us. It's a message of hope. That is what God is about. But before I get started, let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that we don't twist these words in our minds, that we hear the truth that we need to hear. Lord, I thank you for the truth that you give us. I thank you that you are consistent. I thank you that you've always loved us, and your goal is for us to spend eternity with you. Sometimes, Lord, we get lost along the way. Lord, I pray that we open our hearts and our minds to hear your words, not mine, but yours, that the Holy Spirit would speak to us individually. This is not a condemning message. This is a message of hope, a message of challenge, a message that I needed to hear. Lord, I pray that we leave here changed people, that we no longer misunderstand what you're trying to tell us in your word. We just love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This morning I start with a story of a man who was very wealthy. He raised a lot of money in his life. He was very successful at business. And one day he got some bad news, and obviously he wasn't going to be living a lot longer. So before he died, he wanted to bring his wife up to speed on what exactly he wanted. So he brought his wife in. He said, "Here's what I want from you. I want the day that I die, I want you to bury me with all my money. I want you to get the biggest casket you can find, and I want you to put all the money in there with me because it's important to me. I want to take it with me." So the wife was a little confused, and they kind of went back and forth a little bit. And finally, he had wore her down, and she agreed that whenever he died, she'd put all the money that he had in that casket with him, and he'd bury it. Well, the day came, and they were going through the ceremony, and everything was in. They were at the graveside, and there sat the woman with her best friend in front of the casket, and they're saying her final goodbyes. And the grounds crew came, and they were getting ready to take the casket away. She said, "Please hold. Just stop for a second. There's something I need to do. I promised my husband I would do this." She went to the casket. She opened it up. She said a few words, and she put something in that box, or in the casket with her husband, and shut it and said, "Okay." later on at home, the best friend and the wife were talking and reminiscing about old times. And you know, the friend couldn't take it. She said, what did you put in the cask? I needed to know. And she proceeded to tell her what her husband had asked of her. And she said, you're crazy. You didn't do that, did you? She said, yeah, I took all the money, I put it in an account, and I wrote him a check. She kept her word. See, it's all coming to you now. You're starting to wake up. So what I want to look at is Philippians 4, but I want to start in chapter 4. I want to start in verse 4 if you want to turn and follow along with me. I want to lay some groundwork, and I'm going to use the words of Paul today because Paul's the one that wrote Philippians 4:13. Paul's the one that gave the message, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that is a promise that we have. But I think as the world, as the church, as Christians, we take that verse and we make it something that's not. So let's start Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I've learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether fed or hungry, whether living or plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Now, we read that passage, and we kind of see a process, a formula. You know, verses 4 through 7, it defines the kind of people that we're supposed to be. We're supposed to rejoice in everything. Does that describe your life? How many people last week had a situation that they complained about or grumbled about? It's okay. We all do it. And some of you are thinking, Ben, there is no way I can rejoice in everything. Do you trust God? Do you trust God? Because you cannot rejoice if there is no trust. Because let's be honest, aren't we wimps, take the easy way out? I mean, how many people would lose 30 pounds if you could do it by eating Krispy Kremes? Praise Jesus, right? It's not going to happen. Second thing it talks about, do not be anxious about anything. Again, it comes back to trust. How many people here are worriers? You ever lost sleep over something? Heard someone say a couple weeks ago, you know, Ben, you can't worry and pray at the same time. You can't worry and pray at the same time. He said, you got to choose. Are you going to worry or are you going to pray? Be gentle to all. How gentle are we really when things don't go our way? Honestly, think about yourself. And then I know what you can say, well, my kids are horrible. Your kids are a spawn of you. So you can say whatever you want, but they're little yous. You know, my wife's real good at looking at me saying, that's you. I may have said it a couple times. She's not here to defend herself, so we won't get into that. Gentleness, let it be evident to all. How many times you wish you would have just shut your mouth? Sometimes gentleness is quietness. Amen. Again, it's something we need to learn. The goal is to gain that peace that passes all understanding, that peace that is better than anything that is wrong with our life, better than anything that this world has to offer, and better than anything that we could ever imagine. That's how our God works. But at the end of that, it says we need to guard our heart and our mind. And I think sometimes we let our guard down. You ever get lackadaisical? You ever let things slide? You know, kids today with their music, right? How many kids have phone music? First thing is parents. You're not listening to that trash. Don't listen to anything with cuss words. If it's on it, better delete it. 2 years later, you get tired of being the cop for the phone music, don't you? You let things slide. They first get their phone. You're going to read their text. You're going to check it. You get tired because they text a billion times a day. And then you just threaten them. You better not do that. I'm going to kill you. You're going to come meet Jesus real quick if you don't like what you're doing. Kids, am I lying? Am I? That's what my kids, Carson's like, no, dude, my dad's ridiculous. What's best for them? We're trying to guard their hearts and guard their minds, right? You put filters on their phone. You watch, you know, you have the TV. Everything has a password. Who's guarding your heart? Who's guarding your mind? You see, and I think that's where the misunderstanding takes place. Verses 8 and 9, it's our thought life. You think it, it's going to happen. You focus on something long enough, and I'm not saying, I need $1 million, and someone's going to write you a check. As soon as you start thinking about something all the time and it consumes you, that's all you think about and that's all you work for. Right? You ever heard somebody say your favorite restaurant? What do you think about for the next, until you get it? That restaurant, that meal, whatever it is. So we are supposed to think about things that are pure, things that are true, things that are what God wants us to have. And then the last portion that I read, let's start at verse 14. Anybody ever catch that verse before? Paul says the infamous, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, and it was good for you to share in my troubles. Whoa, time out. Anybody here want to sign up for troubles? No one? Anybody here want to get to that part where the only thing that you have left is God? Why not? It's hard. We don't understand it. Why would we wish that upon ourselves? You see, I think when you look at this passage, we have to start with verse 14. Because Paul says 13 because of 14. We have strength to make it through things when trouble comes, not to get what we want. And that's where the misunderstanding happens. How many people know who Steph Curry is? Why is Steph Curry so good? Boys, come on, don't sit there and act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Is he okay shooter? Just okay? He's not as good as you, Wyatt? He's one of the best, okay? The man can shoot. He's phenomenal. You know what his verse is? Philippians 4:13. And it's cool that he puts scripture on his shoes. But do you think that everybody that laces up a pair of Steph Currys is thinking, I have God when I'm in trouble? They are thinking, when I put them babies on, I can't miss. Because through God, he can strengthen me, and I shoot 100% from the three-point line. Amen? Isn't that what he means? I can do all things. I can shoot ball like Steph Curry or better because God gives me that ability. It's ludicrous, isn't it? Go to the lottery counter and buy a ticket and say, I can do all things through God who strengthens me. I'm going to win. In fact, I'm going to go out and buy a new house because I believe it. That's crazy, Ben. But isn't that what we do with this verse? We take it from saying, God, when I'm in trouble, you're going to see me through, to God, you're my genie in a bottle. You're going to give me what I want. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. See, I've done this. I've taken this verse. I've quoted it in basketball huddles. I've quoted it in prayers. I've used it in sermons. And God said, Ben, that is not what I mean. You need to know your Bible better, Ben. You need to take a look at what the Word is really saying and live it that way, not your version. Do you have your own version of the Bible? Seriously, it sounds ludicrous, doesn't it? You read a Bible and go, oh, that's what that means, and this is what I'm going to do with it. You get in an argument with your wife. Woman, submit. Do not do that. It does not work. Do not pull the, I'm a preacher, you will submit to me. That doesn't work either. Let me assure you, you're going to meet Jesus and healing's required after that point. We take the Bible, we take the truth, we take what was given to us to make it through this life, and we try to make it our own. Well, somebody preached, I heard a great message. He's a good person. All those things are probably true. Do you ever go back and research what someone preaches to you? Do you ever go back and look at what the context is, what's really going on, and what it could mean? You know where Paul's writing this letter? He's in jail. Now, if Ben's in jail and I'm writing a letter, I can do all things who strengthens me. I'm going to stand up and bust the door down like a man. And I'm going to walk out. And there's nobody going to stop me. Why? Because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Don't you think that if Paul's in jail and he's giving us this verse that tells us that we can do everything through Christ who strengthens us, that his number one agenda would be get out of jail? I mean, honestly, wouldn't that make sense? Isn't that logical? Stay here. You see, Paul gives us a lot of other hints in a couple other letters, and I want to draw some reference to that. Here's one other thing. I want to stop for a second. I don't want you to feel guilty if you've taken, and it's not about making you look bad or feel bad. We want the truth, don't we? How many times in your life do you just say, give it to me real? You get tired of people's junk? I mean, honestly, do you want the fluffy version or the reality version? How many people want fluff? Seriously. How many people want just, tell me what I'm working with here? Reality. Kids, if you're in trouble, tell your parents, just tell them. This is what I did. Because they would rather deal with what you did than try to figure out what you're doing. Amen? Adults, tell your kids what you want. They would rather know what you expect than to hear how you did it when you were a kid and they're not as good as you, because that's a bunch of junk. Amen? You guys can say something here. It's all right. Amen. It's the truth. You know, Satan will sprinkle just enough truth in for us to think it's real. And the thing is, if we don't know our word, if we are not in our Bible every single day, we're going to get deceived. Do you realize that God's at your fingertips? How many people have apps on your phone? How many people get an internet devotion email to you every day? Some of you maybe get the one I do, and I'm not pitching mine. Don't ask me. That's all I'm saying. How many people have 38 Bibles in your house? You ever counted them? Go home and count how many Bibles are in your house. It's crazy. Because we can't throw them away. If we take it to Salvation Army, man, we're being sacrilegious. That's blasphemy, giving away a Bible. Not if God has a plan for it. You know, what if that's the only way a person gets a Bible? You want to get in the way of that anyway? That's a whole other concept. What I want to do is we have to look at the truth for what it is. And that's really what I want to look at. I'm going to start with a verse, and you don't have to turn there if you just want to write it down. So I want you to go and check it out yourself. Don't just take my word for it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Paul says this, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" In other words, in order for God to be more potent, there has to be less Ben. In order for God to use me at my most strength, my most ability, then I have to get out of the way. It doesn't matter how good or how talented or whatever I think I am. If I'm in the way, God can't be God. There's only room for one hind end in the throne of your life. There is. Yet there's a constant battle between flesh and spirit. Paul himself said, "I know what I need to do, but I don't do it. I know what I ought to do, but I can't do it." Why? Because he had the same battle that we have. Who's in charge of our lives? Who's leading the direction of the ship? Flip over with me to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to jump around a little bit, and I'm sorry, but I think it's all pertinent for what we're trying to do. Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to start in verse 9. I want to look at two other accounts of what I think Paul's trying to tell us, what I think Paul knew that the world would get to, the fact that we would take Scripture, we would take the church, we would take God, and we would make it something that is not supposed to be. If you were to sum up your relationship or what God wants in a relationship with you, what would it be? You get one word. Can you give me one? Anybody? This is the part where you talk.
Say it again.
One word. If you think God wanted you to sum up your relationship with him in one word, what would it be?
Love.
Love? Good one. What else? Matt, I know you. Come on, man.
What?
I can't. Huh? Blessed? Blessed?
Thank
Faithful, obedient. Who said that? The Browns fan. Praise Jesus. He knows. He knows what obedience and faith is about right there. Obedience. Because with obedience, are you not going to love? Are you not going to be faithful? Are you not going to get blessed? Do you think you need to be blessed because you're in a relationship with God? Or you're in a relationship with God and that's where the blessing is? Which is more important? Second. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Again, guarding our heart and mind. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord, and you may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened in all what?
Power.
According to His glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience and joyful, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of the kingdom of light, for He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness, brought us out of the kingdom and into the, brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, forgiveness for our sins. God wants you to understand. God wants you to get it. God just doesn't want you to make it something that it's not. Is Christianity, how many people here think being a Christian's hard? I mean, honestly, you think it's difficult? Business people, in the schools, on the road, whatever you do for a living. Isn't it always hard sometimes to display your faith? And we start thinking, man, I don't want to act like a Jesus freak. They're going to think I'm weird. Those same people are going to come and ask you to pray for them when they need it. You're not a Jesus freak then, you're a lifeline. So why not be consistent? Being a Christian isn't difficult. Being real in your faith, there's the challenge. Because let's be honest, we all struggle with the idea of acceptance, don't we? You think I'm lying? Put something on Facebook. How many times do you see how many likes you get? Dude, it's Facebook. Who cares? But I can guarantee our young people, the message that they're being told by the enemy is that if you don't get likes, no one likes you. You're not good enough. You're not worthy. Doesn't matter what you do, you have to one-up the guy beside you. Why? Because social acceptance is Satan's weapon. You don't believe me? Your kids need the same shoes as someone else's got? They got to have certain clothes? I'm going to talk to the middle. Can we go to Walmart and shop for you? Why not? Isn't the idea to cover your rear end when you're out walking around? No. Who's on the side of my shoe? Anybody know who that is? Who is that? Jordan. Why do I have Jordans on? They're comfortable. Lie. They're cool. Okay. They're not cheap. My kids talked me into it. I'm 43. I'm fat. I'm old. Do you really think I need Jordans? I'm not going to dunk other than an Oreo. Donut my coffee. But the idea is everybody knows what they are. I look cool. I'm accepted by my peers. This is stupid. Doesn't mean I'm going to get rid of them. I pay too much. And we laugh. And that's exactly what the enemy wants. Why? Because we lose sight of spiritual wisdom. We lose sight of being strengthened according to His glorious might so that we might have endurance and patience when the trouble comes. Because you know what? The trouble's going to come, people. Show me a person who doesn't have an issue, I'll show you the person that's living for the world. There is no way we have an enemy that the book says is looking to devour us, is not going to mess with us, is not going to come after us. And that right there is why people don't want to pursue God sometimes. Because it's easier to just get through. It's easier just to get by. What does marriage look like if you actually try every day? What do finances look like if you actually balance and listen to your budget? What does your relationship with your kids look like if you actually just stop and listen instead of telling them what they're doing wrong all the time? Kids, what does your relationship look with your parents if you just listen to what they say instead of just saying, you're dad, you don't know? Don't be pointing fingers at each other if you have kids or parents here. Because you know what? Someday we're going to stand before God. And he's going to look at me and say, Ben, it doesn't matter what Matt did or Les did or Patsy or anybody else in this building did. Let me see what you did with your life. Jordan's aren't going to save me. I'm going to have to look at what I did on paper. Huh. That's scary, isn't it? Scary to think that I have every ample chance, every time I open my eyes in the morning and I put my feet on the ground and I go to work or I get in the car or I go to Walmart or I go to a restaurant that takes an hour to give me my food and then they don't give me a discount. I'm angry. And don't take it that I'm perfect, because I wanted to say something. This happened yesterday, and I'm not going to give you the name of the restaurant, but it's in Mount Gilead on a corner right by the square. That's enough. An hour. It's eggs. Seriously. I mean, come on. They better give a discount. My kid's like, we're going to show them what's up. Give her a bigger tip than I normally would. And again, it's not because I'm perfect. Trust me, I'm a smart mouth. I had all the right things to say. God had to humble me. It's not about me. It's not about showing my kids when the world wrongs you, you act like the world. It's about being Jesus Christ in every situation. They don't know how much I tip. They laugh. But I know. And someday I'm going to have to stand before God and say, Ben, why did you cut that woman's tip in half because she didn't give you service? Why did you expect a discount because they made you wait an hour? You know how long I've been waiting for you to serve me, Ben Pletcher? God, let's not talk about that. Let's get back to that. No. See, we get things screwed up. We get things misconstrued. Flip over with me to Ephesians chapter 3. This is our last section of scripture that I'm going to cover. Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 14. You know, I think when we get misunderstood, part of the issue is we start to think more about what we think we deserve and we get than what God has went through for us every single day. Next week's Easter. Man, we know what it's about. But is a Reese egg bigger than the empty tomb? Sometimes to me it is. Isn't that stupid? Especially when I say it out loud. But I have to look at how I live. You know, this week I was on Facebook, and again, I'm not a big Facebooker, but somebody posted something that caught my attention about how God is going to take this situation based on the decisions that I made. He's going to make something beautiful out of it. And I thought, man, that's wisdom. And I scroll down and look at some of the other posts, and it doesn't jive. And it's not about that judging that person. It really hit me was, Ben, do your words and your actions match your Facebook post? If someone were to take this phone right now and I were to give it to them and let them read every text that I ever sent, would they know that I'm a Christian? What if I did that? Everybody pull your phone out, unlock it, and give it to the person beside you. How many people are squirming? I don't want them to see that. We need to be who we need to be. And again, this isn't to feel bad. This is a challenge. Why? Because you're not dead. If you were dead, then we need to be scared. But you have the rest of your life, however long it is, to serve Him, to change your relationship with God, to make it what it needs to be. Ephesians chapter 3, I'm going to start in verse 14. It says, for this reason I kneel before the Father. I think the first passage just said, always pray. Right? Always pray. Kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family, that's us, in heaven and on earth, derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with what? Power. With power through His what? Spirit. Through His Spirit, not ours, in your inner being, so that who? Christ. Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may the what? Power together with all the saints to grasp, to understand, to get a hold of, to understand, not to misunderstand, how wide and long and high and deep the love of Christ is, and to know that this love surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able. He is able and He is willing, but we have to accept it to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. So when we say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, it's bigger than what I can conjure up in my mind, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout the generations, forever and ever. Amen. So why would I go through all of that for one verse? Because one verse can change your life. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Does that one verse mean anything to you? We learn it all the time. We teach it to our kids. We write it on crafts. One verse can change. See, I want to take, and I want to understand this book better. Why? Because as soon as I start thinking I've arrived, I'm not going anywhere. How many people here know the Bible inside out, upside down, the best of their ability? Anybody? How many people here think they kind of know the Bible? How many people say, man, I need to grow in that area? Amen. Do something about it. Not because I said, not because I made you feel bad or because the Holy Spirit convicts you, because someday you want to stand before God and you know that every day, every breath, every thought, every decision is going to be based on this truth in this book. You know, I've referenced Facebook a lot. Heard a preacher say once, get your face off of Facebook, get your face in the book. Because Facebook's great, but it's not what it's designed for. You know, we take things as a human race and we sometimes mess them up. So I do all that to bring it back to, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Maybe some of you right now are having troubles. Maybe you're in that spot where you don't know what to do. Maybe you're going through something, you've already gone through something, and you're looking at it going, there, God, I don't get it. Your job's not to get it. Your job's to trust him. Obedience. Well, then it's not easy. If it was easy, everybody'd do it. Does that mean we shouldn't try? If your kids came to you and said, Mom, Dad, I want to behave, but I can't. It's not easy. Would you say, oh, it's okay? Heavens no. Suck it up, buttercup. This is how you need to be. We can't look at God and say, God, I don't get it. This is hard. Suck it up, buttercup. A relationship with God is a very serious thing. And maybe it's time the church, maybe it's time that I take it very serious. Husbands, God calls you to lead your family. Are you doing it? Wives, I use the word submit, but you know what that really means? To fall under the authority of. What does that mean in real life? If someone's breaking in your house, it means you don't say, honey, I got this, and go down. It means that you say, dude, you better get your rear end down there and protect me, right? You would expect your husband to go. That's what it means to submit. It means to get behind the protection of. Children, the word says, obey your parents. Parents, the word says, do not exasperate your children. Man, that's hard. Love your neighbor as yourself. There's so many things. Don't look at the whole package. Take one thing and say, you know what? Tomorrow, I'm going to tackle fear. Because I will bet you that everybody in this room is afraid of something. Amen? When you hear, what are you afraid of? Fill in the blank. I don't need it. Give that very thing to God and see where he takes it. Because if that's the thing you're afraid of and he beats it, what else does the world or Satan have to go against you? Don't try to look at all the things you're doing wrong. Look at where you're at and say, I don't want to be in the same spot tomorrow. It's growth. That's all God wants. Because if God expected perfection, we're all wasting our time. So I want to challenge you. I don't want this Easter to be the same as every other Easter, that you go to church, do your thing, you get the baskets, and then it's over, and we're off to the next holiday. I want you to take some time this week. I want you to spend some time with God. I want you to say, God, what is it you want from me? And some of you are saying, Ben, I do that every day, and I don't hear anything. You're not listening. You know, that song that Matt sang, I Need You Now, that was my confirmation that this is the message I'm supposed to get. Why would you say that? Because I need him. He spoke to me and said, Ben, you're messing some things up here, dude. You're taking scripture and you've even preached it and you're not doing with it what I want. So if I'll do it with His Word, I'll do it with my life. And I need to get my act together. I somehow don't think I'm the only one in this room that has that issue. But you know what? There's nothing you can do to make me change. I have to desire to change. God can't make me serve Him. Some of you say, oh, He can do bad things. No, God does, says all good and perfect things come from the Lord above. So don't even start, though. He'll put His thumb on me and make... If God put His thumb on you, you'd be dead. The question is, what are you going to do? How are you going to take whatever situation you're in, whatever's going on? Maybe you're in a good spot where everything's cool and you're just like, don't touch anything. You're the front end of trouble. You're in trouble. You're getting through trouble. Do you understand that? That's where you're at in life. Trouble's going to be there. Why? Because Paul said, thanks for going through it with me. So I want to pray for you. I want to invite the elders. Maybe you're going through something. Maybe there's something you don't understand. Give it to Him and let Him have it. Don't try to take it back. You know, maybe you're in a tough spot where you feel like that God isn't... I just don't feel God. A couple weeks ago, my son said to me, Dad, I don't feel God right now. Pray more. Go to church. Read your Bible. No. Dude, you need to look at what's blocking that. You need to figure out what's between you and God, because that's why you don't feel Him. Something has become bigger than Him in your life. And when I don't feel God, that's the same advice I've got to follow. Look at your life right now. What is the barrier between you and your Savior? Don't let another day go by where it's just business as usual. Shouldn't we be the happiest people on the planet, honestly? Do we live like that? Or are we just as grumpy as the person besides, you know, that doesn't know Jesus Christ? We should be different. Let's pray. God, I thank You for Your truth. I thank You for the fact that You don't grade us. You don't keep records. You don't keep score. You just... keep praying that we'll take the opportunity to change who we are. And Lord, that's not because You don't want us to be who we are, because You wonderfully made us the way that we are. Sometimes, Lord, we screw that up. Sometimes we make it something that it's not. Lord, I pray that You speak to us and that we listen, that we become who You want us to be. We don't get caught up in everything that's wrong and everything that's not going right and all the things that we feel like we should have. But Lord, we look at what we have and we look at what You've done, and we just thank You and we use it to Your glory. Lord, as we celebrate Easter, we know that You went down to that city and everybody is praising Your name and they're laying palm trees in the road and You're on that donkey and everybody's just praising You. And God, sometimes our life's like that. We're on a road where we're praising You, but then sometimes we're on that life where it's quiet, and then we're on that road where we really know where we're going or why things are going and are happening the way that they are. Lord, we need to be obedient. Lord, I pray that in the next up and coming days that we seek Your face, because we know that Your Word says that when we knock, the door will be open. We know that when we seek, we'll find. And Lord, we're not doing it for our own benefit. We're doing it to grow in our relationship with You, that we can love others, that we become a better husband, father, wife, sister, son, whatever we are, Lord, whatever role we're in, I pray that we just do it as if we're doing it for You. Lord, I thank You for grace. I thank You for loving us even when we don't love You back. Lord, help us not to be scared or feel condemned, but help us to be excited, because, Lord, You want to forgive us and move past it and move forward. Lord, I pray that we do the same, that if there's someone here going through something, that they come forward and ask for prayer. If there's somebody that just says, you know what, I need to take this more serious, that, Lord, they come down here and they change that direction and that path of their life. Or whether they come down and not hear their prayers. Give them wisdom. Let them feel Your power. We just thank You for being the God that You are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you would like to come down, the elders will be here to pray with you. If you maybe misunderstood, taking something for granted, do something about it. As I sing this song of invitation, I'm going to ask you to stand and just do what you need to do for you. Thank you.
to see the starry host declare your glory. Glory in the highest. Glory in the highest. Glory in the
people. Hallelujah.
Don't forget to praise the Lord when you do.
Amen.